Okay, yeah, okay. Let's seriously or be serious.
Be why?
Well, let's actually start.
Oh, okay. Welcome to the Bowie Book Club. I'm Christiane.
And I am very jealous. we'll get to that, I guess. But I'm Greg.
And we've had a book club for about 10 years.
Yeah, yep.
And we read a lot of books, and sometimes we talked about them.
Mostly we just got drunk and gossiped.
But at the sad loss of David Bowie in 2016, we decided to get our act together and read through his list of 100 most influential books in no particular order.
In fact, in a completely nonsensical order.
And make wild speculation as we went.
So this is just a sort of a miscellaneous episode.
Yeah, so we're in between.
Yep. We're working on our next book, The Gnostic Gospels.
And we, on Twitter, Duncan Jones released his next pick for this month, which was The Age of American Unreason.
Which is really interesting in a way, because it seems to connect in a way that maybe we'll talk about more next time. Mm-hmm. Connects to the Gnostic Gospels. And it also connects to a book that I've been reading called Fantasyland by Kurt Anderson, who does Studio 360 on NPR. And it's basically about how this sort of strain of American intellectual and cultural DNA is basically about defining the truth for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
and kind of rejecting reason and rejecting facts in favor of how you feel, and how that's just been a constant in our country from its very founding.
Yeah.
And as we're reading in the Gnostic Gospels, that's sort of like one of the elements of Gnosticism is this sense of like you have innate secret knowledge that's what your salvation comes from.
Right.
So there's this interesting tension between like orthodoxy and individualism that we'll talk about more in a couple of weeks.
There was a piece in the New York Times book review this last Sunday that made me think about it as well. It was about the destruction, how early Christianity destroyed the ancient world, because, you know, which ties into the Pagels book, because they're kind of looking at, there was this conflict between Rome and Christians, and the Christians were all oppressed by the Romans, and you were put to death if you admitted that you were a Christian. And then Rome adopted Christianity.
And they're like, well, sorry about that whole feeding you the lions thing.
Let's just say you're right. Okay. But then with that power shift, all of a sudden the Christians were like, yeah, let's mess some shit up now.
Okay, knock down that temple and that temple and cut the head off of that guy, cut the arm off of that lady.
And this kind of like...
And kick that guy.
Like really violent... Well, even before the adoption by Rome, like there's just like violent martyr behavior. And the author points out like there's some uncanny similarities to how we talk about the world today in, you know...
In the sense of like these extreme reactions.
Mm-hmm. Extreme religion that causes extreme destruction. And in that time it was Christianity. And now we view it as, you know, Islam. But a lot of it was political in both cases.
Yeah. And like with the destruction of the Buddhist statues in Afghanistan, that was, you know, a few years ago. You can kind of see those cycles coming up over and over again.
As though the world... doesn't change.
As though we are basically apes who can only fit so much into our brains, maybe?
What's that passage in, you know, that the Carpenters ended up making a song about? Like, to everything, turn. Everything's the same.
The Carpenters, I think the Birds, that's right.
Was it? There was a lot of people that sang that song, didn't they? I don't know who sang it.
Everyone sang it, yeah. Maybe
it was like Ecclesiastes.
Right, yeah. And everyone but Bowie, I guess.
I've actually been having a hard time. I love this book, The Gnostic Gospels, that we're reading this month. And I've read it before. But Greg, can I confess something?
Sure. how long has it been since your last confession?
Well, I'm not Catholic.
Oh, okay. So I'll just
forever.
I'll just open the screen between us, and you can actually look at me now.
And then I'll kick you out.
Yeah. Say 400 Hail Marys and come back next Saturday.
I checked out the Gnostic Gospels on an ebook version from the library.
The venom that you say ebook.
I know.
I can kind of see where you're going with this.
I can't read it. I don't know why. So I thought, okay, I'm going to be on a plane for a long time. I'm going to New York, and then I'm going to be going some other places. Well,
we'll get back to you going to New York, all right.
It'd be easier if I wasn't carrying around a lot of physical
books.
Totally,
yeah. That's what I love about it.
But I don't love about it. I don't know. I'll start reading, and I'm reading on my phone. Like, I have an app on my phone to read the library book.
Yeah.
And then I'll just forget it's there.
Like, you forget what you've read?
I forget that I have the book. I don't have the inclination to pick up my phone and read.
Yeah, well, I guess it is sort of like not what you're used to.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you lose all the tactile.
All my tactical issues.
Your tactical approach to the literature at hand. But yeah, you don't get the feel of picking up the book or thumbing through it or finding your page again or losing your bookmark or whatever.
Yeah, I'll find myself just picking up another book that I'm like, I'll just start this book because I'm not going to pick up my phone and look at it.
Huh.
I think I don't have this problem with audiobooks. Like, I'll find myself like, yeah, I'm going to pick up my earphones and go on a walk or go work in the garden.
I can't do that.
Like, really? With audiobooks?
Yeah. I loved listening to Hawksmoor, but that's the only, which we talked about back in January, that was Duncan's first choice for his book club.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great book, and it was so great to listen to. You know, it just lent itself to that. And I thought, oh, I'm going to start listening to audiobooks more. And then the next book I picked up, I was really psyched to read. It's Why Buddhism is True. And it's a nonfiction book about from a neuropsychologist, I think, who basically walks you through why meditation actually works and how it fits into a bunch of different sort of other science, I guess.
I wonder if it's because it's not nonfiction. I don't usually listen to nonfiction books.
Yeah, right. I guess I can listen to podcasts, and I can listen to like fictional sort of story-based mm-hmm. podcasts. But like the sustained attention, I think, that you need for a nonfiction audiobook. Yeah, maybe that's the problem.
Mm.
And I can't take notes, and I can't, like, you know, because even on the ebook reader, you can highlight stuff and it's more interactive. But yeah, I just get too distracted. Like I said, I'm an ape who can only fit so much in his brain.
Okay, so no audiobooks for you and no ebooks for me.
Okay, so that just means that we're going to have to go back to physical books.
Well, I picked up another book while I was not reading. So I'm
when you were avoiding your work?
Well, I'm kind of behind on the Gnostic Gospels.
Okay.
I think I'm going to have to go find a physical copy or something. But I did read Strange Stars by Jason Heller. The subtitle is David Bowie, Pop Music, and the Decade That Sci-Fi Exploded.
Oh, cool.
And we talked about this really briefly when we interviewed
Chris O'Leary, yeah.
But it helps because you and I have talked a bunch about on this list, there's very little science fiction.
Right.
There's some kind of dystopian stuff, but not a lot of science fiction. And I assume by a lot of the choices that David Bowie made in like costume or films
right.
and just his ethos speaks to us of science fiction, but he didn't choose any of those
right.
books.
Like he's a star man. You know, you'd expect like tons of science fiction.
So this book talks a bit about that. It's, it's not just about David Bowie. He talks about like Jimi Hendrix and the Jefferson Airplane or David Crosby and Pink Floyd and Sun Ra.
The whole Afrofuturism movement, which is still like has resonance today for a lot of artists.
Yeah. So that's a good one. I liked it.
Cool. Yeah. And like I said, I've been reading Fantasyland, which really fascinating and also sort of related to the Pagels book I'm trying to read, her book Revelations about the writing of the Book of Revelation.
Mm.
And I got a couple other books of like early History of the Early Church that I put on my Kindle and forgot about. So you're right. Okay.
See?
You're totally right.
I'm totally right. It's not that I want to be right, Greg, but it's nice to be right.
It's nice work when you can get it, right?
Yeah, in between reading, I also made some time to go to the David Bowie Is exhibit
at the Brooklyn, Museum. Like, I'm glad that this is an audio podcast, so no one can see how green I am right now. So, okay, tell me all about it.
Stop.
I don't want to hear it. I can't take it. No, tell me all about it.
Okay, so.
No. I don't think I'm ready. Okay, come on. Tell me about it. Dazzle me. No, seriously, how was it?
It's kind of eerie in a way because this show was created in 2013 at the Victoria and Albert Museum. And seeing it now, I wonder maybe if they changed some of it, but that they created the show before he died. It feels now going into the show like this is a...
Like they knew that he was going to die?
I don't think so. I don't think it was some like premonition. I mean, he might have known, and his contributions and participation in it might have influenced it. But yeah, going in, you feel like this is the life of a person who has passed away. Mm. So it's uncanny to realize that it had been created 3 years before or
while he was still alive.
Yeah.
Though I guess it was after he had his heart attack and then kind of stopped touring.
Yeah.
So maybe he thought his career was coming to a close and based it on that.
My friend at work, Dave, saw the show, I believe, before David Bowie had died. Yeah, because it was Black Star. So when he saw the exhibit in Chicago when it was touring, it did not include anything Black Star, and it didn't include anything about... Well, there was nothing really about his death in the exhibit, but it just overall feels like this is a memorial to a person. It's like really you walk in and there's like archival material of handwritten pieces and notes and the sheet music for the Laughing Gnome.
Oh my God, I'm so jealous again. Ah.
There was like a little bedroom setup with like his saxophone and like his old plastic saxophone. Like this is kid David Bowie kid room. And but then there's like videos and costumes that he's worn on stage. And super fun piece was like the big tour suitcase thing that you'd usually put like equipment in, just full of books. And it's these books. It's the books that we're reading.
I wish you got a picture of that.
The pictures weren't allowed.
God damn it.
I stole a picture of something. I just snuck a picture.
Really? Shh. Okay, I'll cut that out. Like no one will hear it.
I was the first.
Like, knock on, Christiane, are you in there?
Do you have a picture from the David Bowie Is exhibit?
They like tear it up in front of you.
But it's on my phone.
They tear up your phone in front of you. It's like you're not using this to read anyway. We'll just tear it up.
You won't be needing this. Yeah, there was great stuff. I think one of my favorite. I mean, it's just all over the place. And you wear headphones the whole time, and it like traces you through the exhibit. So you hear like clips of interviews or you hear songs as you walk through the exhibit.
Oh, that's cool. It like follows you around.
Yeah. Which sometimes was frustrating because I would want to continue to hear a clip of an audio, like an interview, while I looked at something else. But it would click off if I moved too far from where...
So I'm
bad at museum, I guess. Like I was not walking in the way that I
was
supposed to walk.
You were not being compliant with museum policies.
No, I was not. But it was a great show. I think it's the end, though.
So are you saying I'll never get to see it?
That's what I'm saying, Greg.
You're the best. You're a great friend. Thanks for taking me with you. And my parents are still mad that you didn't stop by.
I know. I'm sorry, you guys.
Oh, well. Well, at least you got to see it, I guess.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Mm.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
You got anything else on your list of miscellany?
Keeping reading. I swear I'll get to it.
You're going to finish it by the time we have to record again.
I will.
Okay. That's good.
I just have to Read the screen.
Yeah, get your eyes on the screen until you're done.
And then from now on, it's all paper.
All paper, all the time.
Or audio, because I can do that.
You can have that, yep.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you.
I'll allow you that.
You can have that, because I don't want it.
Yeah, I don't need that. You can keep it, yeah.
Yeah, so couple weeks, we'll put out... Yep. I'll finish the book and we'll talk about
Gnostic Gospels. Deadline's about the 26th or so.
Okay, I'll get on it.
Okay.
I'll get on it.
You got a week to read. Okay. Or 2 weeks, something like that.
Pressure's on.
So where can people find this episode?
Well, of course, always on the BowieBookClub.com.
Yep. And if you're on the Twitters, you can find us at BowieBookPod.
Facebook at BowieBookClubPodcast.
And at Bowie Book Club. And you can always subscribe on Apple Podcasts
or
wherever you Stitcher, I think we're on too. And if you rate and review us, we'll be friends. We'll fly you to the Bowie Is exhibit. Because apparently Christian can do that now.
It's gone. It already closed.
Oh, okay.
I think. Well, no. I think there's a couple more weeks. It closes like July something something.
Okay. If you review us by then, Christian.
What?
Will dip into her massive savings account.
Okay, this is I do not approve of this message.
Okay, if you review us, we'll send you a bookmark.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we'll see you again in a couple weeks.
Yep, see you then.
Bye. What was that? Why did you sad trombone at the end?
Was it sad trombone?
It was kind of, you went, wah, wah. Wah, wah. All right. Wow, we did it!
Bowie shoulders, Bowie midsection, and Bowie feet. So what'd you come up with?
Love you, he may land tonight. Mine did not match up very well.
Oh, but the feet, the like lower legs and the bottom, you know, that all matches.
Yeah, I guess so.
So it's like the different sections and then it's sort of a cut up in itself.
Oh, yeah, that's very bold.
So how about this one? He's you diamond tonight.
Yeah, an eye patch Bowie. My third favorite Bowie.
All the Bowies in one magical flip book. I picked this up at a Word bookstore in Brooklyn when I was there. I saw it on the shelf and then flipped out.
Okay, make sure to say that again when we're actually in the episode.
Oh, okay.